Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls. We have a very special guest with us today. We will be interviewing Elena Unger. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm doing well.
Leander, you good?
I'm great.
All right. That's what I like to hear. So, tell everybody what your claim to fame is.
Over the past year, I've been coloring for Archie Comics. I've been working on Mega Man, and I actually did a cover for Sonic the Hedgehog. Well, colored a cover for Sonic the Hedgehog, and that comes out in October. So, yeah, I guess that's my quote-unquote claim to fame.
That's awesome claim to fame.
Yeah.
Are you a big video game person?
Yeah, I do. I really do like video games. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time to play much anymore. When I do play, I'm playing over like a friend's house, because I actually don't have a lot of the newest systems. I'm like old school, like GameCube and PlayStation 2 and whatnot like that. But yeah, I am a gamer, I would say.
Nice. Yeah, the PlayStation 2 is awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
No problems with it.
Nope.
So, what made you get into comics, per se?
Comics?
Did you start in comics? Were you like, I'm going to do comics, and you just, like, beeline to it and got that goal? Or what other artistic things do you do?
That's kind of, like, my path to comics was a giant zigzag with about 15 circles.
Sounds about right.
I've always loved animation, like cartoons. Like, you know, I grew up with like watching Batman the Animated Series and like Sonic the Hedgehog and, you know, all that fun stuff. And then I really like Pokemon, Sailor Moon, so I was always like into like illustration when I was younger. When I was in grade school and high school, I used to read manga, and, I also started reading comics, too. I've always read Sonic the Hedgehog, I guess, since I was, like, 13, I'd say. I've always been a huge fan of Sonic, so I always knew I kind of wanted to do something involved with Sonic. I didn't know what, though. I didn't know what I wanted to contribute. I've always liked to draw. I started taking art lessons, like, when I was in fifth grade, and, you know, I continued through high school, and I majored in art in college. I specialized more so in, like, painting and illustration, too. I didn't really know I wanted to be an illustrator until, like, my first year, I guess. But when I, you know, started learning more and more about what illustration was, it involved comics, and I was like, there's no way I can do that, because everybody kept telling me how competitive it was, and, you know, how difficult it is to get in, and so on and so forth, and I was like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't even attempt comics, I'll just see what I can do with illustration and painting. And then, I kind of had that mindset throughout college. I never really closed the door on comics, but I always kind of figured I can't be 100% go into that. And then when I graduated from college, I started out as a freelancer. Well, I still do freelance, but a lot of it was like I painted like, you know, portrait commissions. A lot of this I still do, you know, today. But, you know, I started out with a lot of portrait commissions, illustrations for books, book covers. And then after a while, I was seeing a lot of comic book work online through, like, different websites and whatnot, and I thought, you know what, you know, why don't I just give it a shot? Like, it's something I've always been interested in, and I can't just say, oh, I can't do this. So I kind of just went gung-ho for it, and I created a portfolio, and I networked, talked to people, Yeah, then I landed at Archie Comics and ended up, you know, coloring Mega Man and stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, normally when you, like, hear stories of artists and, you know, colorists and such like that, it's always like, well, sometimes the parents don't support them. Like, oh, you could have been a doctor, you could have been a lawyer. How supportive was your family and friends for you going into doing comics?
I would say they've been pretty supportive. I think back when I first decided I wanted to be an artist, like, it was probably the middle of my high school career, my parents were pretty worried about me wanting to be an artist, because, you know, there's the whole cliche about being a starving artist, mm-hmm. and, you know, you can't make a living at it, so on and so forth. But I think once I was able to express to them what the whole entire hemisphere of art included, and that, you know, your only option isn't starving artist or art teacher, I think they start becoming more accepting, and they realize it's something I was passionate about, and they wanted to stand behind me with something that I was passionate about. So, yeah, I would say that, you know, family and friends have been pretty supportive overall.
Do you have, like, a number one supporter? Like, that's, that's, like, the person waving the flag, and no matter what you do, they're all about it.
I would say, you know, just about all my friends and family, particularly, I guess, my parents.
Yeah.
You know, my dad is always, you know, sharing my comics with people, that's awesome. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I mean, also I'm a licensed artist, so I have artwork licensed onto, like, bank books and checks. So, you know, my mom, she'll use them, and my mom, she likes to tell people that it's her granddaughter's art on the checks.
That is awesome.
That is cool. So you were very excited to get Sonic after playing Sonic all those years?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And reading Sonic, and was that the character when you got in contact with Archie, you were like, Sonic's what I want, or?
Actually, yes, I straight up told the editor, I was like, I'm interested in coloring Sonic. Mm-hmm. I expressed my interest, and I also provided a link, because back in, like, 2011, Sega had this contest, it was like a fan art contest of, you know, you draw Sonic, and it has to be Sonic CD related, and the top, like, 50 winners would win, like, you know, a free CD, like, of the soundtrack, and a free Steam download of the game. So I submitted, and I was in the top 50, so I included a link with that in my email. I don't know how much it helped, but it never hurts.
Sure.
So,
nice.
That's pretty much how that happened. And, you know, when the editor got back to me, it was funny because he emailed me like 2 hours later, which is pretty awesome. You know, I was expecting to never hear from them or like to wait like a couple months before I get my rejection. And he sent me a couple pages of Mega Man, and he was like, you know, I like your stuff. Can you color these pages of Mega Man, you know, just to see how my style looks? And I was like, sure. And after that, I guess that's pretty much where it started. And, like, you know, he said that at the time, they already had plenty of colorists. You know, there wasn't really any spots, because I know they have, a main artist, Matt Herms, who, does the coloring for the Sonic books, and he's fantastic. So they really didn't have any room for anybody else at the moment, but the editor at the time, because now there's a new editor, but the editor at the time had told me, you know, keep sending us work, and, you know, I want to put you somewhere, but I'm just not sure where or when. Mm-hmm. So about a month later, I did some more work, shot him an email, and I said, here's some more stuff. And he was like, oh, great. And he was like, actually, are you interested in coloring Mega Man? I was like, yeah. So, yeah, basically he mailed me the contract that week and signed it, and that was that.
Wow.
I started in March, and that was in December, so.
Wow. That's awesome.
Does most of your work, like, happen online? Like, you receive something from them and then send files back and forth, or do you get to go into the Archie offices?
It's online. No, the Archie offices, they're like all the way up in New York, so basically we do everything through email. So, you know, I receive the pages through email, and then I color on the computer. So for me, it's like, you know, all digital. I do a lot of traditional art too, but when it comes to comics, it's all like digital coloring, but you apply what you know from traditional painting into the digital. Mm. You know, really, it really does go hand in hand, because, you know, it's like you need the skills in the basics to really branch out to use those skills into a different medium.
What kind of tools do you use, like Wacom tablets and things like that?
I believe it is from Wacom. The tablet's called a bamboo tablet, but I think it's from Wacom. It's pretty old. My dad bought it for me like 6 years ago, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But and back then when he bought it for me, I was like, I'm not getting into digital. So so I pretty much didn't touch it, because I was like hardcore, like traditional forever.
Yeah.
So, but then like when I think it was like my third year of college, I have an illustration professor. She was like, oh, you know, you should really like, you know, dip your feet into the digital, because, you know, that's a lot of where art is going. And I was like, really hesitant at first. I was like, I guess. But then when I tried it, I really liked it. And just because you do digital doesn't mean you have to stop doing traditional. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of like took the skills I learned there, and, you know, I just kept practicing them after I graduated. And, you know, that's pretty much how I was able to evolve my skills with that. But yeah, for equipment, you know, I have the bamboo tablet, and I use an iMac desktop, and I have Photoshop. I use Photoshop for like comics, and then I have other programs too. Like for my licensed art, I use Adobe Illustrator, because that's more like graphic based. So Illustrator is pretty much a better program to use than Photoshop, in my opinion, for that type of stuff. So for comics, that's my equipment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for anybody who might be trying to get into digital, as far as like they're stuck, they're like, you know, yes, traditional all the way, and then like I know like using the pen on the Wacom and or whatever tablet, it's very sensitive when you're using it. I find a lot of people I've heard have a hard time getting used to using it like a pen, like a traditional pen, which it's just so different.
Yeah. You know what, it's kind of like driving. It's like when you first hop in the car in the driver's seat and you're learning how to drive, it like feels really weird, and you're like going 2 miles per hour because you have no idea what you're doing. It's kind of like the same thing with the Wacom tablets. It's like it feels really awkward at first, but then after a while it kind of just feels like an extension of yourself, and it just feels like pretty much almost as natural as when you're using a paintbrush or a pencil. It just, you know, have to practice a lot.
So just stick with it.
Yeah, pretty much. Persevere. Don't give up. I was totally annoyed with using it at first, but then after a while, I was like, yeah, this isn't so bad. So, yeah, just my advice to anybody who's trying to get digital, you know, definitely stick at it. And no matter how frustrating it may be, like, it may not calibrate correctly with the computer, just keep going.
Is there, so, Mega Man and Sonic, when you kind of look at it, if you take a step back, it may seem kind of more like quote-unquote kiddish, right? Because Mega Man and Sonic is the games that we grew up on. And so you're coloring for those currently. If someone, you know, that had more kind of like a gothic or more kind of a darker tone to it, where it's kind of more, you know, blood and gore and stuff like that, would you still be interested in coloring something like that as much as you would be for a Mega Man or Sonic?
Funny you ask that, because I actually am working on a series like that right now.
Nice.
It's more for an independent client of mine. It's not like DC or Marvel or anything like that. But yeah, that one, it's called Mary Moon, and it's about an archaeologist. And to basically explain it in the most basic terms, she becomes part vampire, part werewolf, and you can imagine all the blood and gore that's involved with that. So sure. Yes, I am working on a series that's quite gothic and bloody and gory, and it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's great.
It's cool you used your Leander powers.
I did. My powers. Let me see. What secret does she hold? Was it something, so that being very different and, you know, not the Sonic that you grew up with and wanting to know for sure you wanted to do. Mm. How hard was the decision to do that one instead of, you know, anything else?
To do...
Like, what were you... Like, it was like... Was it a, like, oh, I really want to do this, I'm really excited, or was it like, this is new, I'm hesitating, I have to really think through it first,
or
and then...
Or was it like, cha-ching!
Well, actually, I was working with, I was working on Mary Moon before I did get into Archie.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I already had, coloring experience under my belt before I submitted, because actually, I had been working on that series since, like, late 2013, and I didn't start working for Archie till this past March. So I've done different types of artwork all over the board. You know, I've done things from gory to gothic to, you know, Sonic, so... all different stuff.
Cool. That's great. Yeah, one of our friends gets every Sonic comic, mm-hmm. every Mega Man comic. He's going to be really mad. When he hears this. Hi, Steve. And we didn't tell him.
Hello, Steve.
Personal hello for you, Steve.
There it is. Do you have other plans that you can talk about at this point with Archie?
I don't think I can say.
Sure.
Because it's nothing set in stone.
That's perfectly fine.
Don't want to give any false information out.
Sure.
That's fine. Is there any character now, what Archie's been doing that I really like the Archie book with Archie himself, they've paired him up with different characters and different properties that on paper you're like, that's weird, like Archie versus Predator, Archie versus Sharknado.
Oh, yeah.
And I've read these and I think they're awesome. I think they're a cool way to get maybe different fans into Archie. I think Archie's just been great across the board.
Mm-hmm.
The new Archie book itself has been very good, getting Mark Waid to write it. Is there any oddball franchise that you would love to see Archie interact with?
Oh, yeah. I really love when they did stuff like Archie meets Kiss and meets
right.
the Ramones.
Yes.
I would love to see more of that. Like, maybe, like, Archie meets Rat or, or like, you know, Judas Priest or something.
I wasn't ready for that.
I don't think anyone could predict it. Reference.
That's amazing. That is great.
I would love to see more like metal or like punk bands or something done with that. I mean, I'm sure the Rat one might be a bit iffy considering like the copyright is like all over the place for their band.
Aren't they still arguing with that? Like really recently they're still making a big stink about that. I get it, but you know.
Oh, they could do it. They could just put Rat with one T. And then that way,
there
all problems solved.
That's true.
They're fighting over both T's. That's the problem.
Just drop that T off, and you got all sorts of legal greenfield there.
Yeah, I know. Like, I think like Bobby Blotzer like started like the Rat Experience or something, and then Stephen Piercy's doing his own thing. So yeah, it's pretty much all over the place. So I don't really know how Archie could do that. So I mean, it's kind of like. You know, it'd be cool, but I don't think that would be possible at the moment.
Well, you fans out there in listener land, you petition for that. You solve Rat's issues and then get them to work with Archie.
That's right.
And that would be amazing.
Or you know what would be cool? Maybe not necessarily like, you know, as much as I love like 80s metal, like maybe like more modern bands. Like I am a huge My Chemical Romance fan, so I would love something like that.
Okay.
I mean, unfortunately,
nice.
They're broken up. Too. But, you know, you never know. You know, stuff like that.
Using comics to get all your bands back together.
That's right. That's right.
I think Archie should meet NWA.
NWA?
Yeah. That would...
I don't think that's going to happen.
Straight out of Riverdale.
Uh-huh. Oh, jeez. So, speaking of all the legal stuff and such, you're in a world where, you know, you have to be careful what you say, you have to be careful what you sign, all that good stuff. Were you taught, like, how to deal with all that stuff? Or do you have someone that reads all your contracts? Do you just do it yourself? Like, how are you learning as you go? How is that going?
All of the above.
All of the
above. back in good old college, I did take a business class. So I did learn a lot about that. You know, always read in between the lines. Also, like, besides Archie, I also have an agent. And She's the one that, you know, helps me with my artwork to be licensed on products. And she's actually, I believe she is or was an attorney. Sorry, Teresa, if you're listening. but I, like, I first, my first, like, actual official dealings with the contract was with my agent, and she kind of, like, walked me through it, and then, you know, I have my parents look over things. I'm like, if I don't understand something, I'm like, okay, this looks like, you know, a different language, you know, you might have to help me decode it. So my parents are pretty good with that. But overall, like, you know, I can read through them. You know, a lot of it's just by experience, and you can see, you know, something's not right or everything matches up. I mean, you know, so far every contract I've signed dealing with art has been, you know, pretty good. Like, nothing where they're like, you know, trying to steal money from me or right. anything. So yeah, it's a learning experience. But also, like, I have people that can help me out if there's something I don't understand.
Nice. Seems like you have a good support team.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Awesome. Is there any character from any company, any time, that you would love to work on?
Batman.
Batman.
I know it's not the original answer, but it's the truth. I would love to work on Batman. There's probably about 100 characters I can mention. I would love to work on, like, Harley Quinn, Batwoman. You know, I could go on and on, but those I would say are my top three.
Okay.
And we probably all have a favorite character that we could probably spit out that we would see if you'd be interested in. You could even do it, like, can you do, like, personal art? Like, if you, like, oh, we really would love if you could color...
The three of us.
The three of us.
Is that what you're going to say?
Of course! Of course, the three of us, right. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's like, no, not you three.
So, and in that vein, do you normally...
to work with here.
Do you normally prefer to get something already drawn and then you just color it in, or you do both drawing and coloring?
I can do both. A lot of times we'll get commissions from clients. They'll be like, okay, I have these drawings, can you color them? Okay. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So, you know, that's the bulk of my commissions. I mean, there are definitely times where people are like, you know, can you draw this too? Or, you know, can you, like, paint me a portrait or, you know, a comic book cover or a splash page or something? You know, I'll do the drawing and the coloring or painting. But, you know, I get commissions like that from, you know, all over the board, people asking different things. Sometimes if it's, like, totally, like, out of my medium, like, if someone's like, oh, can you, like, do my whole entire family portrait in, like, you know, ink, I'm like, well, because, like, inks are not my specialty, so I'm just kind of, I'm like, well, you know, it's not my forte, but I can do this, and I'll give another option. So I try to, you know, stick with what my specialty is when I get commissions.
Have you ever written? Is there any desire to write, or?
I haven't written any comics. I would love to write comics. I used to write a lot, but ever since, like, you know, I started, like, freelancing in art, I just have, like, very little spare time, so I don't really get to write a lot. I have a notebook, and I'll brainstorm ideas, and, like, I'll just put down maybe, like, worlds or characters I'm thinking of. A lot of times, you know, I'm thinking of specific characters, and a lot of times it's not even, like, I'm forcefully thinking about it. It's just, like, I might be doing something, I'm like, oh, you know, it just kind of hits me, so I'll write it down. You know, maybe one day I can actually, like, start something, you know, I could write something. I would actually love to, you know, write something, like, write a story for, like, Sonic or something. That would be cool.
Nice.
But I think right now, you know, I guess the focus is, like, the art aspects, like, coloring, and see, you know, where that takes me. You never know.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite Sonic character?
Sonic.
Sonic is your favorite? Do you have a favorite Mega Man character? There's so many robots.
Yeah. With Sonic, it's like, my favorite character has always been Sonic ever since I was like 4 years old.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much unchanging. Mega Man, I mean, I don't have that connection to Mega Man that I do Sonic, because with Mega Man, like, I used to watch NT Warriors when that was on TV, and that was probably the extent of my knowledge of Mega Man. And then when I was a kid, like, back when, you know, PlayStation was the biggest, baddest system, a neighborhood friend came over, brought over one of the Mega Man games, and I was playing a level, but he didn't even let me finish because I guess I was going too slow or I was doing too badly. So he took the controller and finished it for me. So
sounds like a Mega Man player.
So, with Mega Man, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I jumped in pretty late. Like, I learned a lot about Mega Man within the past year, and, you know, I've actually grown to really, like, enjoy the series. But right now, I would say, like, if we're talking about, like, you know, there's, like, Mega Man and Mega Man X, I would say with Mega Man, I actually really like Dr. Wily.
Nice.
Awesome.
Because he's just, like, crazy and insane. And when I, like, read his dialogue, like, when I get the script and I'm reading it, I just imagine, like, Doc Brown's voice.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, okay, this guy's cool. Nice. So, but then, like, Mega Man X, like, I really like Zero. He just seems like a pretty cool character.
That's awesome. What about when you decide? So you just you got the contract. You know you're going to color, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go through this idea of inspiration? Do you play the video game? Do you look at the script? Do you just look at the comic and just like, oh, these are the panels. Here are colors that associate with that. Like, what is your? How, is it just an internal gift that you have? Like, how does that how does that work?
Well, let's see. My process is usually I look at all the pages. I panic for about an hour.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah, me too. Only because I'm not a colorist.
That's it. I panic for an hour, and then I'm done.
Right, we would all panic because we're not colorists. Right. You just panic because you try to think through the process.
Yeah, it's usually like, okay, I gotta hit this deadline, and I gotta make it look good, and how much sleep am I gonna get? But, yeah, that's like the first hour. And after that, I just, you know, I look at the pages and I'll get, like, an idea. I'll be like, okay, this should have this kind of atmosphere, and this should have this atmosphere, and, you know, I'll read the script and I'll see what the characters are saying, because a lot of times what they're saying affects how a panel should look. Like, you know, if someone's receiving bad news, you don't want to make, like, the background this bright, cheery pink color, because that would be extremely ironic.
Right.
And then, like, I have a lot of references, like I have comic books on hand, and I'll look through there, I'll look see like how a lot of colorists you know will approach certain things, and I'll get some inspiration for that. Like I really like Adam Sinclair's coloring. Like he's done stuff for like Batman Hush. So I have that, and I'll look through that a lot. So then, you know, like usually you know I typically jump right into it, but I might start off slow at first. I'm trying to get an idea of what I'm doing, and then after that, it's just kind of like bang, bang, bang nice. With each page. So yeah, that's usually my process, and then like after I get all the pages done, I'll look them over. I'll see if I left anything, like if there's like, you know, maybe there's blue from Mega Man's helmet and it's bleeding into like, I don't know, Dr. Light's face, and I'm like, oh, we can't have that. So I'll have to go in and fix it. So it's a lot of cleanup afterwards, and me just being OCD and making sure every single pixel is covered. So yeah, that's pretty much the process for that.
Very cool. I liked how you shaded all the colors, you used all the colors, especially in issue 53.
Oh, thank you.
I liked it a lot. I liked like the transformations when he goes from Mega Man to Rock and things like that.
Oh, right.
I enjoyed the colors there in particular.
Thanks.
We had me, Leander and I were looking through the issue, and he's like, I understand coloring, but I don't understand what colorists do per se, and like we went over, and I was just trying to point out things.
Yeah.
And,
very cool.
I think the colorist is a very important job, and I think people need to know that.
Yeah.
I think the colorist and the inker sometimes gets a bad rap, and I don't think that's right.
Yeah. Well, and also it seems like one of those situations where you can look through a whole comic and not, like you said, just not appreciate the colorist until you meet a colorist or you talk to him or you know you're going to, and you look at the panel like, oh, wait a second, this panel is amazing because the colorist made it amazing. And you don't even realize that until, you know, because you're oblivious. I think a lot of people are oblivious to that.
I realize it. That's what comics are, man. Oh. Colors, they're colorful. Oh. You wouldn't want to read a black and white comic, would you? Just kidding.
Walking Dead's pretty good.
Walking Dead is pretty good.
Yeah. But yeah, I can see what you're saying, because, you know, usually when people look at comics, you're looking at the artwork, and a lot of times people skip over the artwork and just read the words, which, you know, is kind of like, some people are just like, you know, they just want the idea. They want to. Some people are just quick readers, and they just want the idea of what's going on, and maybe they'll glance at the picture, and they really don't care for the art. They're just more into story. And some people that are more into art, they'll be studying the line work, and not necessarily like, oh, you know, this ink line on his jaw is really bold, or they're gonna, they're not gonna be like, well, you know, the way his helmet's rendered, it's so blue in this area. Like,
yeah, you're like, I'm out.
I'm done.
You
I'm
had
done.
Me till this blue helmet jawline thing. Then you lost me. No, I think that's true, though. I probably fall more to, like, being a quick reader, but then I have to sort of remind myself to, like, all right, someone spent a lot of time on this. Like, let's just take a few minutes and, like, look at every page. And if I already like the artwork, because sometimes there can be a disconnect between the amount that you like the story and the amount that you like the art.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
true.
I think it's important to remember to appreciate the entire package when you're reading a comic.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, one thing I noticed is back in college I took a video editing course, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can put together a video if I need to, a little short movie. But by doing the video editing process, I have a really tough time watching movies now because, like, oh, that's not, continuity is horrible, and, you know, they cut it at the wrong time and all that stuff like that. So being a colorist now on a comic, and, you know, does it ruin reading comics to look at comics and, like, oh, that colorist, they totally messed up. Oh, I would never do that. Or, oh, this is horrible and this is really bad, you know, whatever. Do you do the same process sometimes when you look at comics, or are you pretty okay with that? You can see past it.
You know what? Yes and no, because, like, I feel like if I pick up a comic that someone else worked on, I can separate myself. Sometimes it's a little hard, because, like, I might pick up, like, Mega Man or Sonic issue that I didn't color. I'm like, oh, that's such a good idea. Why didn't I render that character like that before?
Mm.
Or I'm just kind of like, you know, but then I have to tell myself, okay, this is a comic book. This is my free time, you know, gotta enjoy it.
I'm off the clock. I'm not working. I'm just reading.
But a lot of times, you know, I'll pick up a comic and I'll just, you know, I'll read it, and I think it might even enhance the experience for me. Like, I can appreciate everything, like, and not just paying attention to the pencils, not just paying attention to the wording. I'm also looking at the inks, and particularly for me, the coloring. You know, like, I think it's easier for me to do that on a series I'm not working on.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like, I have like, so many, I have so many Sonic comics. I have, like, stacks at home, and not just from recent, but, I mean, just, like, I've been, like I said, I was collecting them since I was, like, 13 years old, so that's, like, more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I might sometimes look back at them, and I'll be like, you know, like, it looks like they're airbrushing here, but that's not really, like, the status quo today, and I'll just kind of, like, think about, like, how, you know, different the style has changed over time, and what companies want, so on and so forth. So sometimes I'm not necessarily, like, looking at it, I'm like, ugh, work! I'm just looking at it, I'm kind of, like, I feel like it's learning, like, I'm like, oh, okay, things have changed a bit, or, you know, or just admiring what the other artists did. But I think I can, you know, there are definitely times where I can separate myself from the book and I can just enjoy it, and other times I'm looking at it and I'm like, ugh, I have to go color.
Nice.
Well, that's about it for our time. Is there things you'd like to plug? Where can people reach you?
Okay, time for the shameless advertising.
Do it.
Sure,
do it.
Okay, well, if you want to see more of my artwork, more so, like, paintings, I do a lot of portraiture, like, doing, like, rock musicians and various other people. You can check it out at www.studioelenaunger.com. You can also find me on DeviantArt, just Elena Unger. Find me on Facebook, Elena Unger Art, Twitter, at Elena Unger. You can find me here, 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 and here. you know, go out and support Mega Man, so, you know, maybe they'll bring him back from the hiatus sometime soon. You know, there's a few, I believe, graphic novel collections coming out soon, and some came out for the summer, so, you know, definitely get your hands on those and read up on that. And yeah, that's where you can find me and how you can support, you know, the artist at Archie.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that was great. All right. Signing out.
Signing out.
Bye.